First John and chapter number 2. Do pray for my voice. I noticed myself croaking and couldn't get them notes very well at all in the music. That's always a bad sign when you got to preach, amen. Especially when it comes from the drainage and so forth. But nonetheless, praise God, we're going to try to preach. Pray for Brother Gray tonight. He's preaching at Cornerstone Baptist down in South Union. And was with Brother Logston this morning down there tonight. And I think they're giving him a refrigerator. Amen. I didn't know all of his food had been spoiling all this time, or we'd tried to help him out. Amen. Did anybody know that we broke a record in church tonight? Nobody paid a bit of attention to it but me. I'm surprised. All of you amazed me tonight. Everybody. The whole church. Nobody noticed it. First time I can ever remember that I asked if anybody wanted to testify, and Brother Jerome didn't testify. First time I can ever remember. Brother Jerome's sick, though, ain't you, Brother Jerome? Amen. Well, that's the first time I can ever remember it. I've been knowing him a long time. Amen, Brother Jerome. We had to do that. Had to get that done. We couldn't break a record. Amen. All right, 1 John chapter number 2. And again tonight, we're going to begin reading with verse number 12. Where Brother John, the beloved disciple, writes here, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Now may the Lord add his blessings to that. Let's pray, and we'll try to bring the message. I went home, went over this, my notes again, and I added a few little things here and there, and I hope I'll be able to see them. They're in some pretty small places, and I hope I'll be able to see all the extra little notes that I put in there. But anyway, let's pray, and we'll try to bring the thought God's laid on our heart tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the evening you've given us, for the glorious privilege it's ours to be in the house of God, the church of the living God, the place, Lord, that you've designated to meet with your people. As you met over the mercy seat in the tabernacle and met in the temple with your people, so you meet in the church with your people today. And I pray, Lord, that tonight would be no exception. That the heavens would open, God would rend the heavens and come down. And Lord, that you'd meet with us in a wonderful way, a glorious way, a marvelous way. I pray you'll rejoice the hearts of your people. Help us tonight, Lord, to see you in a clear and a concise way, possibly in a way that we've never seen Christ before. I pray that you'd help the preaching, that you'd bless me both spiritually and physically. I pray you'd anoint me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost and fill me with the same. Save sinners, revive your people, help those tonight that are at home or away from us, sick or on the road, whatever the need might be. I pray for them likewise. Give us liberty now in the house of God, and may we magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll thank you for doing it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I'm trying. Jay Jerome, bring me this water. Now, this morning I preached on the level of maturity that had been attained to by the fathers, and the fact that it was a revelation from God, how they had known Him that was from the beginning. But tonight I want to look at the young men. These young men had emerged from infancy, from being little children, but they had not attained to the level of maturity that the fathers had. You might say they were in between. They weren't little children, And neither were they men of great wisdom. But they were men that had great strength, and the word of God did abide in them, and they had overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
That is the three things that it says about them. Tonight I want to preach on this thought, the record of the young men. The record that God gives us concerning these young men that John is writing to in these verses. Now, as I mentioned, the Bible said in verse 13, and I believe in verse 14 also, that they had overcome the wicked one. Now, you know, that is a great feat. I've often thought about that. How in the world they have overcome the wicked one. I know the Bible talks in the book of Revelation about overcoming him by their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And by their testimony, the fact that they love not their lives unto death. But that is a great statement to be said about any Christian, that they have overcome the wicked one. Now, I'm not reading or writing anything into the Bible. That's what God says. And He says it twice in these 10 texts. So what God writes there, God means exactly what He says. And He said twice that they had overcome the wicked one. He said again that they are strong. And that means they are strong spiritually. They have arrived at a place of maturity in their life where they have accomplished some things, and they are strong in their Christian life or their spiritual life. And the third reason gives us, the third thing tells us why they are strong. Because the Word of God abideth in them. You know, the Lord said in John 15, if the Word abideth in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So they had found themselves in a great place in Christian maturity. A place where their prayers were being answered. A place where they were strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. They weren't as wise as the fathers, but neither were they as weak as the little children. They were right between there. Now, let me begin, and I said this morning. I'm going to preach a while on this, so you might as well buckle down your seatbelt. I want to begin by mentioning what the text does not say. While John does mention here in these verses, and I'm only going to get basically to overcoming the wicked one. What it does say in these verses that the young men had overcome the wicked one. That is the devil. Osloofoot himself. The evil one. Of Lucifer, the son of the morning. He that had rebelled against the authority of God and lost his exalted position in heaven. While the Bible does say they had overcome the wicked one. And in chapter 5 and verse 4, it does say that they had overcome the world. What is it that overcomes the world? Even our faith. It overcomes the world. And he says there that they've overcome the wicked one and that they've overcome the world. But nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that they have overcome the flesh. Now that's something we need to consider about this verse tonight. Nowhere in the Bible, not in 1 John or any other John or anywhere else in the Bible, does it ever mention the fact that we have overcome the flesh. And I thought about it this way. They had overcome Satan. They had overcome society. But they had never overcome themselves. Now that's a thought to think on. That proves what I preached all these years. That our greatest enemy is us. We look at our greatest enemy in the mirror every morning when we get out of bed. That's a marvel of the grace of God. That we can overcome someone that is as powerful as the devil. We can overcome something that is as enticing and alluring as the world. But we cannot in no way overcome this flesh that we're living in. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I believe we can. You're in for big trouble. I'm telling you that your flesh is something you're going to have to reckon with and work with and beat down and keep in subjection until the day that you are delivered from this earth. Your flesh is your greatest enemy that you have on this earth that we're living in today. And nowhere in the Bible does it teach you to overcome it. I know there's a lot of guys preaching the fact that they're perfect these days. But I'm telling you, until you can conquer the flesh and perfect the flesh, you are in no wise perfect. There is an inner man in me called Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that new man, that regenerate man, that born again man cannot sin because his seed remaineth in us and you cannot sin. But I'm telling you that we're still dragging around this old body of death that is just as prone to sin as it has ever been since the day that it come out of its mother's womb, screaming and a lion out of its mama's womb. Somebody say amen right there. You know something, that sins out of the womb has got to be pretty hard to take. And the Bible said they come out of the womb speaking lies, and that they do. No doubt about that whatsoever. However, we are called upon to mortify the corruptions of the flesh. Not conquer it, but to mortify. For Brother Paul said in Colossians 3, verses 5 and 6, he said, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetous, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The key word there is mortify. Mortify these members that are upon the earth. That's what the Bible said. And that word mortify means to subdue. It means to bring it under. It means to dead, to make it dead. And by the way, we have got to reckon ourselves, Paul said in the book of Romans, we have got to reckon ourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God does command us to mortify those members upon the earth. And it amazes me that the first one he starts with is fornication. Now, I'm not going to preach on all of these. I'd never get done tonight. But I'm here to tell you there's more fornicating and whoremongering going on and adultery going on in our society today than there's ever been in the history of the world. I have never seen such a sin-sick, sex-sick, if I can say that word, society is what we're living in today, buddy. It seems like everybody's got their heart and their mind in the gutter, in the wrong place. And I tell you, that flesh will lead you to sin against God if it's not brought under subjection. Amen. Some of y'all are looking at me kind of weird. Amen. Now, notice what he says in the... And by the way, that mortification, that mortifying that can only be accomplished by the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, and I think verse number 13, he said, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die." Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? A man without any power to subdue or to mortify his members upon this earth, his flesh, has never been born again. That's what the Bible said. If you live after the flesh, and I just mentioned those things that are after the flesh, ye shall surely die. That's about as plain as you can make it. He said, "But if ye through the Spirit," there it is, there's our power, "if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of this body, ye shall live." Thank God, I'm glad I've got a conqueror on the inside of me. Praise God, I can't conquer my flesh, but I've got a Holy Spirit on the inside of me that can enable me to mortify the deeds of the flesh and the deeds of this body. Amen. And to live soberly and righteously in this present evil world that we're living in. Now I'm telling you, if you think you've got a lock on your flesh, you're crazy. And if you think your children's got a lock on it, you're nuts. If you think your children are little angels, you are crazy, friend. I don't know any of them that's arrived. If it says nothing about the fathers who are the most mature and the wisest of those three groups in their stage of maturity, if it says nothing about them conquering the flesh, What makes you think that a 14, 15, or a 16, 17, 18-year-old boy or girl can do it? I'm telling you, you better put a guard on them. You better put a spiritual fence around them, or you'll find them committing fornication as sure as I'm standing where I'm standing. They'll get in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person, and that flesh will lead them into sin. I'm telling you, this flesh that we're dwelling in is weak, ladies and gentlemen. It's more ways than one, and it's weak in a spiritual sense tonight. There's only one I know that can mortify it, the deeds of this body, and that's the Holy Ghost. That's why so many people today that claim to be saved are falling into sin. Nobody at home. Nobody there.
Amen.
They're empty.
Amen.
They're shallow. There's no one at home on the inside.
Amen.
Brother Paul said he had to beat his body and bring it into subjection. And I'm going to tell you, you better do the same thing.
Amen.
That word beat means to pulverize. To bruise it, pulverize it. Work on it. Bring it into subjection. Hey, and I'm going to tell you one of the sure ways to lose the battle is to feed it. If you feed the flesh, you're going to lose the battle. And there's enough out there today that will feed our flesh without going out and looking for it. Praise God, you can't even go out in public anymore without seeing a woman half nude from her waist up at least. You know what I learned the other day? It is a state law in Ohio. Women can sunbathe topless in the state of Ohio. Anywhere they want to. Come on in the house. You think this world is not wicked, friend? And you think that that flesh won't unleash on something like that? You know it will. Amen. That kind of stuff is a breeding ground for fornication and for adultery and for sin. Amen to God. I wasn't planning on saying all that, but I did. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, stay with me. In some varying measure of degree, all believers, let me just read, in varying measures, all regenerate people do so, or they do accomplish this to some degree, for the grace of God teaches us as recipients of grace.
Amen.
That we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we're to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present evil world. But nowhere does the Bible affirm that the saint has overcome the flesh.
Amen.
I looked back through the Bible again tonight to make sure I was right, and I found some of the mightiest men in the Bible that never overcome the flesh.
Amen.
David was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
And when he found himself in the wrong place at the wrong time, the flesh was unleashed and he committed adultery. Not only did he commit adultery, but he plotted and committed murder. Amen. And so there is one of the most spiritual men in all the Bible that had not conquered his flesh. Now think of Samson. Samson, the strongest man in the Bible. So you got the most spiritual and the strongest, and neither one of them could conquer the flesh. You know the story about Samson. Samson had a problem with women, boy. That was his problem. He had a problem with the opposite sex.
Amen.
Amen. Come on now. I'm going to get on the text here in just a minute, but I'm telling you what this text don't say. Where it says we have overcome the wicked one, we get the idea we've arrived. We are far from arrived, ladies and gentlemen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You know the story about Samson. Delilah finally got him. She was a Philistine. The Philistines are a type of the flesh. You know, you've read the text. The five lords of the Philistines promised her so much money if she had gained his secret and tell where his strength lies. And four consecutive times, he went into Delilah, and four times over, that woman conjured up something to try to get out of him where his strength lies. And the fourth time, she accomplished that. But I'm telling you, the lords of the Philistines, and there were those that lied in wait. There were those that called them liars that lied in wait. They were in ambush of him. The lords of the Philistine and those that were in her bedchamber and Delilah were all confederate. I'm telling you, I said that to say this. The flesh is never divided, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot separate the flesh. You can't divide the flesh. It's got one goal, one purpose, one thought, and that is to bring you down to where you'll disgrace God and dishonor the Bible, dishonor yourself and your marriage. I'm telling you, the flesh is well and alive tonight. And it is not divided. No, no way. They were all in cahoots. The lords of the Philistines, Delilah, and those that were in ambush,
amen,
waiting to bind old Samson. They're not going, and they got him. So you can't, the flesh is not going to be divided. I'm going to say too, the flesh is patient. It'll wait a long time. It gets in no hurry. Four consecutive times, Samson went into Delilah. And every time, listen to this, she tried the same game plan, had the same people laying in wait to ambush him every time. And the first time, when the first time failed, they didn't get discouraged. If you think your flesh will get discouraged when it fails the first time, you overcome it the first time, it will not get discouraged. It will come back at you like a battering ram. It'll come again and again and again and again. I'm here. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. You're not going to overcome it. You're going to have to battle it, and by the Spirit of God, subdue it and bring it under if you're ever going to mature in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, that goes for more things than just carnal things that I mentioned earlier too. Flesh is lazy. Don't want to read the Bible. Don't want to pray. Don't want to come to church. It don't want to study. It don't want to read. It doesn't want to witness. It doesn't want to do anything spiritual. It's contrary to everything the spiritual man is. It's against. That's why it's a constant battle. It's like two heads butting together. I mean, the spirit and the flesh butt heads continuously. And the flesh, it's very patient. It'll wait its time. Wonder how long it waited to get David. I wonder how long it waited to finally get Samson. Huh? Is anybody listening? I wonder how long it waited to get other people in the Bible. It'll get you, friend. It got Solomon. It got him. Wonder how long it waited to get him. I don't know how, but it was patient. It waited and got him. I want to say number three, the flesh is very consistent. Their plan never changed on Samson, not one time. Samson, tell me wherein your strength lies. Well, it's in this, if you'll do this. Samson, wherein does your strength lie? Well, if you do this. Samson, wherein does your strength lie? It doesn't change. The flesh is consistent. It just keeps on coming and keeps on coming. But I'm going to tell you, these young men, thank God the Bible said they had overcome the wicked one. Hallelujah to God. What a blessing to know. And that they were strong. I wonder if there's any in here tonight that have progressed from being little children to being young men who are strong. Being young men who have overcome the wicked one. Being young men that the Word of God abideth in you. Anybody in here fills that category tonight? Boy, I hope so. I'm talking about maturity.
Amen.
Maturing from little children to young men and to fathers.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot to cover there. I won't have time to cover it all. But notice, they had successfully encountered their first temptations and trials under the banner of Christ. Oh, what a blessing. Their first trial, they had overcome it. Anybody in here remember that first trial that Christ let you go through? Anybody in here remember the first time that Satan tempted you and enticed you and tried to lead you astray and you overcome it and it put a smile on your face?
Yeah.
These young men had encountered the devil in trials and temptations and tribulations, and he had tried his best to drag them down. But oh, like warriors of the faith, they marched on in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were like the song we sang, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching onward and upward every step of the way. Yes, thank God. They had overcome their trials. They had overcome their temptations. They had overcome their tribulations. Hallelujah, what a thought. Praise the Lamb of God. If you've been saved very long, it's a blessing to be tried, but it's a blessing to conquer that trial. And if you know anything about temptation from the devil, if you're prepared for it, in many ways that's a blessing. He does not tempt lost people.
Amen.
Only the saved.
Amen.
That ought to put a spark. That ought to start your motor. Because most Baptists, if the devil tempts them to do one little thing wrong, they immediately think they're lost and they're not saved. I know people like that. I know people who are like that. If they get one little thought in their mind they think oughtn't to be there, or if the devil tries to plant a little seed thought in their mind, immediately what comes to their heart, I must not be saved or I wouldn't think about that. But I tell you, you've got a buzzard flying around your head. He is a buzzard. And son, he's dropping little seed thoughts in your mind constantly. He had dropped his seed thoughts. He had dropped his little enticements. And yet these young men were strong. The Word of God abided in them. And they overcame him in their trial and in their temptation. They had overcome him. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I like that. He had been unable. He had been unsuccessful to drag them down his evil ways or to shut them up in danger or despair. Now I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. If he fails at the first, he always tries a second. If he cannot get you down his evil way of sin and wickedness, he'll always try to discourage you and lead you into a place of despair.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody besides Brother Jerome, say amen right there.
Amen.
He'll try his best to bring you to a place where you just want to throw up your hands and quit.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, preacher, I've never been there. Wonder why Joseph told his brothers when he's going back to Jacob, see that you fall not out by the way. I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a danger of falling out in the way. There's a danger of getting weary. There's a danger of getting worn. There's a danger of getting tired. And if he cannot drag you down his sinful way of lifestyle, he will do his best, ladies and gentlemen, to wear you out and worry you and weary you. Torture and torment your mind. Bring you to a place of despondency and despair. I'd say this again later, but he'll even try to convince you you've committed the unpardonable sin and you're going to hell. He is a devil. But I tell you, thank God there's grace to overcome the wicked one. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. I'll tell you, we've got one on the inside that can overcome that rascal. Amen. He's a prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world. No doubt about it. He's got principalities and powers. And he's powerful. But he's not all powerful. Woo! The powerful ones on the outside. The all powerful ones took up residence on the inside. Amen. He's my Lord. He's my King. Well, he's my King. Amen. Thank God. The one that you, the overcomer that went into the temptation in the wilderness and overcome him there. Went to Gethsemane and overcome him there. Went to Golgotha and overcome him there. He went to the grave and overcome him there. I'm telling you, the overcomer dwells within us. And as long as the overcomer dwells within us, we can overcome the devil, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Now, notice this. For them to get where they are, as young men, they continued following on in their pursuit to know the Lord.
Amen.
They didn't sit down and say, I've learned it all. They didn't give up and think that they had arrived. They had enough sense to know that the Lord and His glory is so vast. His ways are beyond finding out.
That's right.
His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, and His ways are so much higher than our ways. He's a wellspring of life. Amen. He is a pair in the wisdom of God. He is our wisdom and our righteousness and our power. He is our hope. He is our blessing. And He's the blesser. Hallelujah to God. He is a Savior that never needed saving. He's the one that didn't have to save Himself, but He did save Himself. He's the one that can save you. He's the one that can save others. I tell you, He that dwells in us is the overcomer tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. And they continued following in pursuit of the Lord. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, somebody want to quote it? I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think the key word there is press. Myself, personally, I may be wrong, but I press. He didn't say I sluggard my way along. I'm slack and a sluggard and I expect God to do it all. Paul said, I press. I'm pressing. That's why we sing the song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let me know more and more about Jesus. Hallelujah to God. More about Him that I know. He's the one that I want to learn about. He's my all in all. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the door. Hallelujah. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Creator, the beginning and the end. He is everything tonight. Amen to God. Amen. I'm about ready to go through the wall. Hey there, Brother Jerome. You want to go through it with me? I'll make the hole and you follow me, man. Hey there. Amen. Now, I'm not to say that they had not received many setbacks. They had. You ever got any setbacks? Seemed like take one step forward and go two backwards. They'd had many setbacks. And they'd been sorely wounded in their conflicts with the powers of evil. Yet Satan had been foiled in his efforts to induce them to give up the fight. They weren't going to give up the fight. I thought about old David being pursued by Saul and went down to the cave of Adullam. And he stood in that cave of Adullam and said, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of water from the well at Bethlehem. David had three mighty men. Now, he was being pursued by Saul, not the Philistines. But the Bible said they broke through the host of the Philistines and brought him back water out of the well of Bethlehem. I put it this way. The Philistines was occupying the house of bread. But those three strong men broke through the host of the Philistines and brought water back to David. David said, how can I drink this? He just poured it out. I've got some right here, Brother Jerome. David poured that water out unto the Lord. But he didn't give up the fight. He kept pressing on. I think of even Samson on that mill and down in the Philistines' camp. And when they led him out between those pillars, he cried to the Lord, Lord, do it again. There he is, blind in both eyes. Shackles on his feet. Unable to see and unable to walk. But in that condition, he cried to the Lord. In essence, he said, I shall not give up the fight. I'm telling you, too many Baptists tonight have given up the fight. Praise God, we ought to never give up the fight. The battle's already been won. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're the victors tonight. Amen. Fight on, army. Fight on, church. Walk on, church. Walk with God, church. I'll guarantee you He'll bring you out in a wealthy place. Praise God, we might preach all night, Jerome. Amen. That's right. Boy, you got her to the brim that time. And you know what some of you need to do tonight? You need to break through the Philistines and get to the house of bread. Some of you need a little bread tonight. Some warm loaves from God's oven. Just break through the flesh. That's what some of you need to do, is just break through the flesh. Amen! Break through it. Get to Bethlehem. Get to the house of bread, praise God. Eight warm loaves waiting on you down there. Now I tell you, God will spread a table. Can God? God can. Amen. He'll spread a table from side to side and feed us like kings and priests that we are. We are the royal family tonight. Hallelujah. Never to be betrayed. Never to be forsaken. Never left behind. He is the one that will lead us and make us overcomers tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this leads me to say that God's people are more aware of their defeats than they are their victories.
Amen.
Ain't that right? Everybody can say, you know I'm telling it right. You get whooped. If I was to go out here, and I'm not going, I hope I don't. If I was to go out here and get in a fist fight, I'd come in here all skinned up. I'd be pretty aware of the fact that I got skinned up.
Amen.
Wouldn't I? And I'd contemplate on that for a long, long time. Now get this now. A good illustration. Just like we are far more aware of our illness than we are good health.
Amen.
You can be in the best health in the world. Somebody can see you and say, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing all right. There's nothing wrong with you. The Lord say, praise God, I'm doing great.
Yay.
I'm wonderful. Because he that is wonderful lives in me. But you get sick. How you feeling? I come over this week, Brother Steve, Mr. Rudy said, how you feel, preacher? I think I'm going to I fucking just get rid of it. Call my feel. I'm going to tell you what, if I get well, I sure am going to thank God for it.
Amen.
I'm going to try to be more aware of the fact that I'm well.
Amen.
And I am when I get sick. You get sick, you'll know about it. When we get well, we ought to know about that also. I'll never forget what Brother Nolan used to say. Some of the kids or somebody get hurt around the church, and he said, hey, let me see that. He said, you know something? He said, it'll feel better when it quits hurting. Ain't no doubt about it. And we'll all feel better when we quit coughing. Quit fevering. And quit gagging on this slime, whatever it is.
Amen.
Now stay right with me. This is true, and it's true because of one thing. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord during our victories. You can't have victory and be looking away from the Lord.
Amen.
But in our defeats, our eyes are on self.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, when you look at self and get beat up, you know about it.
Amen.
But when we get to little victories and we think it's got to be a major victory. Son, I'm telling you, I quit smoking and thought I had conquered the universes. I thought I had arrived. Praise God. I don't smoke no more. Hallelujah. And I thought that was a major victory. I never met the devil yet. See, the Lord won't let... The Lord won't let little children come too close. They won't let the devil come too close to them. But once you become young men, strong, the Word of God abides in you, that 20 is going to put you to the test. Are you listening to me? Now, we look at ourselves during failure. Satan, look here, Satan never succeeds in prevailing finally or totally over any saint. Never. You get a hold of that now.
Amen.
That'll put the Armenians to flight.
That's right.
He never totally or finally overcomes any saint.
Amen.
For in no case can he accomplish his full desire, because the intercession of Christ prevents him from doing so. In every instance, and I love this, in every instance, those words of His hold true. I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. Somebody said He said that to Peter, but it's in the Bible. He not only prayed for Peter, He prayed for you and me, hallelujah. That our faith fail not, and our faith will not, cannot fail. If we're right with God, it cannot fail us. Stay with me now. I'll be done here in a minute. Now, how do we equip ourselves against Satan? I'm just about done. How do we equip ourselves? Well, number one, we've got to put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
Paul said in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
I want to read this, I guess, first. Our striving against the devil is one degree of conquest. God does not postpone the full, or God does postpone the full and ultimate victory. Yet if we continue to resist the devil, we are not overcome by him. God does not give us the total victory. You know what He said about those in Canaan? He said, just cast them out a little by little, not all at once. Little by little. Forget this. Put on the whole armor of God. Now I want to ask you a question.
Amen.
Whose responsibility is that? That's the only way you're going to you're going to overcome the wicked one. You have got to put on all the armor of God.
Amen.
That you might withstand the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
Now and by the way, you know whether you put it on or not. If I was to come out of the shower in the morning, come walking out in the living room, and Miss Hall would be out there, and she'd say, "Sweetheart, why are you naked?" "Well, I'm not naked." "Well, sure you are. I can see you're naked." "Oh, no, I'm really not naked." "Well, why are you?" "Well, I guess I am naked." "Well, why are you?" "Well, nobody put my clothes on for me." My Lord, I can understand that of a little baby. Little children, but not young men and not fathers. So it is our responsibility to go to our spiritual wardrobe and put on the armor of God. Just like we put on our clothes in the morning. Put on the armor of God. Why are you smiling about it? God, let me come over here where you're at, sis. What are you smiling for? That's right, though. This hall don't dress me in the mornings. I put on my own clothes.
Amen.
He said, put on. Now, listen, I'm not going to preach through. But you've got to put on each individual garment.
Right.
All of them. If you're going to overcome him, that's no other way.
Amen.
No other way. Just like you put on your clothes. Put on the armor of God. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say secondly, you got to resist the devil.
Amen.
James 4:7 said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now that's a fact.
Amen.
If you resist him, he's a gone gosler, as my daddy used to say. Daddy said, a gone fawn skin. Now whatever a fawn skin was, I have no earthly idea. My pop had some real quotes, friend.
Amen.
If you think Mike Huckabee got some, my pop could outdo him any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Amen.
He had some sayings, friend. But you gotta resist the devil.
Amen.
Thirdly, you gotta remain watchful and vigilant.
Right.
1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now get this. If he gains a temporary advantage of us, he may cause us to disgrace our faith. If he does, he can cause us to disgrace our faith, dishonor the name of Christ, and then strive to drive us to despair. I said that a while ago. If he just gets the edge, that's the way you're going. You're going to disgrace your faith, first of all. Then you're going to dishonor Christ. I don't want to do that, do you? I don't want to dishonor him. He's done so much for me. He honored me, just saving me. What an honor to be saved. Just to know that your sins are gone. Then called this little old country boy to preach the Word of God. It amazes me what he's done. Now, I certainly don't want to dishonor him in anything in my life. I want to be faithful to withstand in the evil day.
Amen.
Resist the devil. Put on the armor of God.
Amen.
Tell him to take a hike, a long walk off a short pier. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, and he'll persuade us that he'll try to persuade us we've committed the unpardonable sin. But if our failure will drive us to our knees in humble and sincere confession to God, then we defeat his hellish design.
Amen.
Would everybody agree with me that Peter failed God miserably?
Amen.
At the high priest's palace when he said, I don't know him. Three times. The devil smiled and said, I've got him. And I'm going to tell you, when Peter went out and wept bitterly, he overcame the devil.
Amen.
He confessed.
Right.
He went out and made confession of his sin. And I'm going to tell you, you've got to confess sin.
Amen.
And you know what sin is? Just confessing sin is just agreeing with God that it's what you've done is sin. That's all it is.
Amen.
But that flesh and that pride don't want to let us do that. And in many ways, we're afraid to tell God. We're afraid He'll know about it. Really now. As if He don't. Somebody said, well, if He already knows it, what's the need to confess it? I'm going to tell you why. As long as you've got that known sin in you, you'll try to hide it down there, and your conscience will aggravate the life out of you.
Amen.
So you get that thing right. Now I'm done right here. I want to read this verse of Scripture. Somebody said, preacher, can we really overcome him?
Amen.
Genesis 3:15, the fountainhead of all prophecy. The Bible said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now that scripture, the seed, the woman's seed, is no doubt talking about Christ. But I'm going to tell you one thing. His children have the same enmity between them and the devil's children that Christ and the devil have. And the devil is a ramrod of it all. But here is the death blow. The devil can't take. This is a death blow that kills him. Christ's promise and our victory. The God of peace shall bruise Satan. Get this now. Not under Jesus' feet. Bruise Satan under your feet.
Amen.
Shortly.
Amen.
I believe God's going to let us stomp his brains out.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I wouldn't be that evil. I would. I'd stomp his stinking brains out in a minute. For the, other time. The Lord said, Haul, it's your turn. Come and stomp him.
So
I'd say, can I use both feet?
Amen.
But that's what that verse says. But the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet.
Amen.
Shortly, not long down the road. His time's running out. And our time is drawing nigh.
Amen.
And when I see Jesus, I want to thank Him, yeah. But I want to have, I don't know the word I'm looking for. I want to be as spiritual as I possibly can be.
Amen.
I want to overcome and conquer as much as I can.
Amen.
I want to have been able to do all that He wanted me to do, give all the money He wants me to give, pray all He wants me to pray, witness all He wants me to witness. I want to do everything that He wants me to do. Amen. You're strong. I'm writing to you because you're strong. And the reason you're strong, the Word of God abides in you. And that Word of God abiding in you has made you overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
Let's stand together.